of wind through the room. My hair whipped across my face, and the stone statue of the Cyclops blew to the ground, breaking into pieces. Then the air stilled, and Chris stood, his gaze fixed on where Rachel stood on the other side of the cave. She backed up to the wall, her eyes wide in fear. But, as promised, he made no more moves to harm her. Her eyes darted around the cave, and she sprinted toward the tunnel, toward the lake of boiling water. As a demigod daughter of Zeus, she was faster than all of us. But Danielle raised her hands in the air, and water zoomed from the end of the tunnel, freezing into a wall of ice. Rachel skidded to a stop, seconds away from colliding with it. Then she saw her reflection in the ice and screamed, "What happened to me?" She pressed her hands against the ice as if she were hoping the image in front of her was a lie. "Why do I look like..." She paused, tracing her fingers against the reflected lines of her face. "Like a monster." I took a few tentative steps toward her, not knowing where to start. "A lot's happened since you last saw us," I said. "What do you remember last?" "I was in the Hydra's cave." She turned away from her reflection and stepped away from it, as if she couldn't bear looking at what she'd become. I couldn't blame her. I would feel the same way. "The Hydra pierced me with its fang," she continued, her voice shaky. "Ethan rushed to my side to try stopping the bleeding, but my blood felt like it was boiling. The next thing I knew, I was floating above my body. I watched as you tried to heal me, but I knew it wouldn't work. Then a god appeared in front of me, Hermes, and he brought me to the ferryman, who took me on a boat to the underworld." "What happened after that?" Danielle probed. "Everything after that is hazy." Rachel gazed up at the ceiling and ran a hand through her hair, as if she were trying to remember. "The next thing I remember clearly is being dropped off here by Helios. He told me to wait by the portal for Ethan to return. I asked him why Ethan was in Kerberos, but he just said that Ethan would fill me in on everything once he got back. And then he was gone. Since then, I've just been sitting here, waiting." "For how long?" I looked around the dim, cold cave, feeling terrible that Rachel had been here alone. "I don't know," she shrugged. "Hours, I guess. But what Chris said about Ethan being dead, it's not true. I know he's in Kerberos, and that it's tough to survive there, but my brother is strong. He'll make it out alive. I know he will." She looked at the portal with so much hope, and my heart dropped, knowing that Ethan wasn't coming back. And even though we had to kill him to stop him from killing us, he was her brother. How were we supposed to break this news to her? I glanced around at the others, and they looked as torn as I did. "Why are you all looking at each other like that?" Rachel's face creased with worry, and despite her monstrous appearance, she was just a scared girl who needed answers. "What's going on?" "Rachel?" I said her name again and shuffled my feet, stalling for what was coming next. "Like I said, a lot's happened since we saw you last. I think it's best that we start from after the incident in the Hydra's cave."
"You mean after I died?" she asked, surprising me by how easily she said the words.
"It's okay. I know I died back in the Hydra's cave. You don't have to pretend that I didn't."
"Yes," I nodded. "We'll start from after you died. From there, we filled her in on everything." Chapter 11. Rachel stared at the portal to Kerberos, saying nothing. I couldn't blame her. What we told her was a lot to soak in. And even though we'd explained that we had no choice, we had to kill Ethan to stop him from killing us. I wouldn't blame her if she never forgave us for what we did. Finally, she turned back to us, her eyes filled with tears. Just answer one question, she said, her voice quivering as she spoke. Why did you kill Ethan in there? She pointed to the portal, making it clear that by there, she meant Kerberos. Why couldn't you have brought him back to Earth first? At least that way, he would have been sent to the underworld. Now, he's in the underworld of Kerberos. Going through who knows what kind of torture. And he'll never see anyone he loved again. Her question broke my heart, because she was right. Ethan had done terrible things, but did he truly deserve to be sent to the underworld of Kerberos? Now that I was thinking about it, I didn't think so. If he'd been sent to the underworld of Earth, he would have been sent to one of the realms there and paid for what he'd done. But when I'd exited the time portal and seen Ethan and Blake, there had only been one thought going through my mind. I had to kill Ethan before he killed one of us. So that was exactly what I did. In the original timeline, Ethan hadn't hesitated to kill Blake in Kerberos. It hadn't struck me to hesitate in doing the same right back to him. But that still didn't make it right. You're right, I admitted to Rachel. We should have brought Ethan back to Earth first. I'm sorry that we didn't. So, get Kronos here, Rachel demanded. Get him to create another time portal, so you can go back and fix this. I can come with you and talk to Ethan. I'll get him to see everything clearly. I'll bring him back to our side, and you won't have to kill him. I promise you won't. It doesn't work like that. Danielle spoke calmly, trying her best to soothe Rachel. What Kronos did for us, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And we set the path right again. He won't risk having the past go any other way. Rachel's eyes filled with tears, and she looked away from us again. I didn't know what to say to her. What could possibly make all of this better? I glanced over at Blake, but he seemed as unsure as I did.
We need to remember why we came here, Chris finally spoke up. We have to find the Ambrosia so we can bring back Kate, and every minute we spend talking is another minute closer to Typhon's return.
I'll help, Rachel said, which took me by surprise. She must have noticed my shock, because she added, I don't think I'll ever forgive you for killing my brother in Kerberos. But what he did to you these past few weeks, I don't agree with it. I know he wasn't thinking clearly, because he was grieving my death. But what he did was wrong. He shouldn't have blamed you for what happened to me. And if it weren't for him slipping that gray energy into your drinks, Kate would probably still be here, right now. The least I can do is help you bring her back.
Thank you, I said, humbled by her offer. Going to the underworld must have changed Rachel. She was definitely different than the girl who had impulsively run to the Hydra and gotten herself killed. Or maybe I simply hadn't had enough time to get to know her before she died. Either way, I wanted to do something to show her my appreciation. I can try to heal you, I offered, hoping it would be a start toward earning her forgiveness.
It won't take long. Afterward, we can search for the ambrosia.
That would mean a lot.
She ran a finger across her cheek and grimaced, apparently reminded about how monstrous she looked.
Thank you.
I walked toward her, and she met me in the middle of the cave. The others gathered around, watching. Up close, Rachel looked even worse. I could see every detail of her swollen, discolored veins, just as I had when I tried to heal her in the Hydra's cave and failed. Even the whites of her eyes looked puffy and purple. I couldn't imagine the amount of pain she'd been in when she died.
What should I do?
She held her hands out, waiting for instructions. Normally, I put my hands on the part of the person that had been injured. Rachel's whole body was affected, but I guessed it would make sense to start with the source of the injury, the place where the Hydra's fang had entered her body. You don't have to do anything, I told her. I'm going to put my hands on your injury and call on the white energy to heal you. I've gotten pretty fast at this, so it shouldn't take more than a few seconds.
Okay, she said. Let's do this.
I reached for her shoulder, hesitant to touch the wound. Usually, when someone was injured, the blood was bright, fresh, and flowing out. Hers was dark, coagulated, and still. The blood was dead. So was her skin, gray and sickly, like she was a walking corpse. Which, I supposed, she was. I pushed away my hesitation and reached for the wound, closing my eyes and laying my hands on top of it. Her body felt room temperature, as if I were touching an inanimate object. No warmth emitted from it at all. I had to open my eyes to verify that I was touching Rachel and that I hadn't accidentally reached for the cave wall instead.
Well,
she asked, did you start? Not yet, I told her. I'm about to. I closed my eyes, reaching out with my mind to gather the white energy around me. As always, the energy came to me immediately, filling my body with its familiar warmth. I tried to send it toward Rachel, but it was like hitting a wall. The energy couldn't sense her. It was like she didn't exist at all. This had only happened to me 3 other times. When I tried to heal Blake after Ethan had killed him. When I tried to heal Kate after she'd been turned to stone. And the first time I tried to heal Rachel, when she died in the Hydra's cave. There was only one common denominator. All those 3 times, I'd been attempting to heal someone who was already dead. Trying to heal Rachel right now was no different. I pulled my hands off of her and opened my eyes, unsurprised to find that her appearance was unchanged.
Did it work?
She asked.
Do I look normal again?
I shook my head, my heart sinking as her hopeful expression disappeared. I tried, I told her, but I can only heal people who are alive. My best guess is that Helios kept his word on bringing your soul back from the underworld, but he didn't reanimate your body.
What do you mean?
Rachel stepped back, her mouth open in horror.
He put me back into a corpse.
Her hands flew to her arms, to her stomach, and to her face, understanding dawning in her eyes.
I'm cold, she realized. My body, it's not alive.
It's not, I agreed, watching her sadly.
I'm so sorry. I did everything I could. I tried to heal you, but I can't bring back the dead.
Chapter 12.
What does that mean? She asked. I'm going to be a walking corpse forever.
I believe the correct term
is zombie, Chris chimed in.
Rachel sat down and buried her face in her hands, as if she were too ashamed to look at any of us.
What am I supposed to do?
She raised her head again, her eyes filled with tears.
I'm hideous. I'm a monster. I'll have to live in hiding forever. My life is ruined.
She pulled her legs up to her chest and lowered her head in her knees, crying. I looked at the others, not knowing what to do. I'd already tried to help her. There was nothing I could do to fix her.
I have an idea, Danielle announced.
Rachel's head shot up, and she wiped away her tears, waiting for Danielle to continue.
As you know, we came to the cave to search for ambrosia so that we could turn Kate into a goddess, she said, pacing back and forth. According to Apollo, the apotheosis process rids the soul of its previous body and provides a new, immortal body. Once we find the ambrosia, I don't see what harm it would do to have Rachel test it out first. If it works for her, then we'll know it will work for Kate.
That should work, Blake said. If there's enough ambrosia for both of them.
And if there's not? Rachel asked.
We'll deal with that if it comes to it, I said, since the answer I was sure we were all thinking, that Kate would get the ambrosia no matter what, was not what Rachel would want to hear.
Okay.
Rachel stood up, a newfound life in her step.
Where do we find the ambrosia?
I looked to Danielle, since this had been part of the plan we'd created back in the new Alexandrian library.
Ambrosia is liquid,
Danielle explained to Rachel.
And it's consumable, which makes me think there must be water in it. My power allows me to sense all water nearby. I should be able to sense the ambrosia, and will be able to lead us to it.
With that, she kneeled down and placed her palms down on the ground. She closed her eyes and scrunched her forehead, clearly deep in concentration. No one spoke. I worried that even a whisper would distract her from her task. A few seconds passed in silence. Then the ground started to shake, and I heard something crack in the nearby basin, the one I'd fallen into when we fought the harpy last winter. I turned to look at it and saw that a geyser had erupted in the center, yellow liquid spurting out and up from its vent.
Well, guys?
Chris rubbed his hands together, staring excitedly at the basin as it filled up with the liquid.
It looks like we found the ambrosia.
Chapter 13. The geyser eventually finished exploding, and now we stared down at the basin full of ambrosia. The liquid shined and shimmered, as if it were molten gold itself. Rachel stepped forward, smiling down at the basin.
This is it, then, she said.
I'll drink the ambrosia and turn into a goddess.
It might not be that easy, I warned her, since she deserved to have all the information before she made the attempt. We did a lot of research on apotheosis last night. The ambrosia works best on people who have divine ancestry. So as a daughter of Zeus, you have that part covered. But the majority of those who drink ambrosia don't survive the process.
The ambrosia will turn your blood to ichor, Danielle added. Ichor is the blood of the gods, but ichor is toxic to mortals. If the transition to being a god doesn't take, the ichor will still be in your blood, and it will kill you.
I'm a daughter of Zeus, Rachel reminded us, as if we needed reminding. Of course the transition to being a god will take, and it's worth the risk. I would rather die than live in the body of a corpse. What kind of a life could I possibly have if I stay like this?
She motioned to her monstrous body for emphasis.
We could try to find another solution, I said. This might not be the only way.
But this is the only way for me to become a goddess, Rachel asked.
From our research, it seems like it, Danielle said.
Then I'm doing this.
Rachel straightened her shoulders, staring down at the ambrosia.
I want to be a goddess. I was brought back from the underworld, put back into my mutilated corpse, and placed in this cave where the ambrosia can be found. This is my destiny. It has to be.
She kneeled down next to the basin, cupped the golden liquid in her hands, and drank it. Then she dipped her hands in again and drank more.
How much do I need to drink for it to work? She asked us.
One cup, Blake said. At least, that's what it said in the books we read.
She filled her hands twice more with the ambrosia and gulped it down. Then she stood back up, wiping her mouth with the back of her hand.
Was that enough? She asked.
We're as new to this as you are, Danielle answered. I suppose we can wait and...
She was cut off by Rachel's ear-splitting scream. Chapter 14.
It burns!
Rachel scratched at her arms, as if she were trying to dig into her flesh and drain out the ambrosia. Chunks of her skin came off with her nails. She held her hands up in front of her face, staring at the shreds of her skin attached to them, and screamed again. There were gaping holes in her arms where her skin used to be. But it wasn't blood that seeped out of the wounds. It was a thick, glowing, metallic liquid. Ichor. The ichor burned through her flesh as it poured out of her body and fell onto the ground, melting her skin and leaving sizzling trails in its wake. Her screams echoed through the cave. And through her cries, she begged us to help her. I wanted to run to her and try to heal her. But after my last failed attempt, I knew this would be no different. If the apotheosis process was failing, there was nothing I could do. Her tears were also made of ichor, and they ran down her face, joining the growing puddle of melted gold on the ground. Her feet melted into the puddle, disappearing until there was nothing left of them anymore. With her feet gone, she fell to her knees, reaching forward to brace herself with her palms and screaming again. Her skin was literally melting off her body now, dripping to the puddle below. The ichor was burning its way through her, leaving nothing in its wake, not even bones. I watched in horror, hating that there was nothing I could do to help. All I could do was watch her melt away. Her final screams echoed through the cave. And then she was silent. Rachel was gone. All that remained was a glistening puddle of ichor. Chapter 15. We were all silent, staring at the place where Rachel had been standing. Even though she was gone, I could still hear her awful screams in my mind, the way she'd begged for help. I didn't think I would ever forget her cries for as long as I lived.
Maybe she'll be okay,
Chris finally said, although from the way his voice wavered, I doubted he believed it.
Maybe this is just the first part of the apotheosis process. The ichor is still there. She could rise from it as a goddess.
She's not going to rise as a goddess, Blake said,
his eyes locked on the puddle that used to be Rachel.
We all saw what just happened to her. The ichor burned through her body. She rejected the transition.
We can't do that to Kate,
Chris's eyes were wide, locked on the puddle as he backed as far away from it as possible, as if he was afraid that being near it would burn him too.
What if the same thing happens to her? Hasn't Kate been through enough already? Maybe there's another way, something else we can do to save her.
There's no other way, I said. If there were, Apollo would have told us. And we have to trust that he told us about apotheosis because it's the best and possibly only way to get Kate back.
All Apollo told us was to learn about the apotheosis process, Chris said. He didn't specifically mention ambrosia, and Kate can't even drink the ambrosia. We would have to submerge her in it completely. And we all know from our research that that's never been done before. Maybe we should just go back to the library and try to figure out another option.
Kate's soul is stuck in the stone, Danielle reminded him, her voice soft. We know that ambrosia has the power to turn mortals into gods, and the ambrosia is right here in this cave. If the worst happens, and Kate suffers the same fate as Rachel, then at least we'll have freed her soul from the stone. At least she'll be able to find peace. We owe it to her to at least give her that.
And I don't want to speak badly of the dead, but Kate has a much better chance of surviving the process than Rachel,
Blake added.
She has more qualities of a goddess.
She does, I agreed, although I was glad that Blake had said it first. We also can't forget that Apollo is the one who recommended this method to us, and he's the god of prophecy. He wouldn't lead us in the wrong direction.
I know that you're right, Chris said. It was just seeing that happen to Rachel. I've seen a lot of scary stuff recently, but that took the cake.
I nodded, since I understood what he meant. I saw a lot of terrifying stuff in Kerberos, but seeing Rachel melt into a puddle of ichor was worse than most of the things I saw while there. The only thing worse had been walking into the cabin and finding Blake's mutilated corpse. I shivered from thinking about it and stepped closer to Blake, taking his hand in mine. I was more grateful that he was here now than I would ever be able to explain out loud.
So, we're still in agreement? Danielle asked. We're moving forward with the process for Kate?
We didn't get a chance to answer, because a huge orb of fiery light appeared in the middle of a cave, a man materializing in the center. And judging from his angry expression and his eyes that blazed with fire, I doubted he was here to help us. Chapter 16. My thoughts shot through my brain at super speed. Apollo traveled through a similar orb of light, but Apollo's orb was yellow, not red. Whoever this was had to be similar to Apollo, and Helios and Apollo were both gods of the sun. Before the god fully materialized, my hand was on my necklace. I called to Apollo for help, sending him a mental image of the scene in front of me. The man stepped out of the orb, the light fading behind him. He was tall and muscular, with auburn hair and bronzed skin. Like all the gods, I would have thought he was attractive, if he wasn't looking at us as if he wanted to kill us. Then the cave glowed with a soft yellow light. Lightning cracked down right beside us, a boom that sounded like a bomb exploded, and the smell of sweet perfume drifted through the air. 5 gods stood in front of the one I assumed was Helios: Apollo, Zeus, and 3 others I hadn't met yet. 1 was male, and 2 were female. The man had dark hair and dark eyes, and he wore a leather jacket similar to the one Blake always wore. The women looked like total opposites. 1 resembled a Barbie doll in a tight red dress, stilettos, and her blonde hair styled to perfection. Her eyes were bright blue, nearly the same shade as Danielle's. The other woman was much more low-key, in jeans and a t-shirt, her hair held back in a practical ponytail. She wore no makeup, but was still stunningly beautiful.
Helios?
Apollo addressed the god who had appeared in the fiery orb, confirming that my guess about his identity was correct.
You've done quite the job of hiding from us. If you hadn't come here in a rage to kill my daughter and her friends, we might not have found you so quickly.
I have a right to be here,
Helios growled.
Or have you already forgotten about how these four elementals killed one of my immortal cows when they visited my island? Now, to add insult to injury, they destroyed the demigod that I ventured into the underworld to bring back to Earth. Luck was on my side that Hades was too distracted by the upcoming war to notice, and I was quite proud of my accomplishment. But mortals cannot thwart the gods like that and live to tell the tale.
Zeus stepped forward, each step booming through the cave like thunder.
The demigod you speak of is my daughter,
he said.
And since you didn't have Hades' permission to leave with her, you returned her soul to her corpse. You made her an abomination. She may not have survived the apotheosis process, but I'm grateful that her soul has returned to the underworld where it belongs.
The question now is, what are we going to do with you?
The god in the leather jacket cracked his knuckles and stepped closer to Helios. I assumed he was Ares, the god of war. He held a baseball bat with chains around it, looking at the sun god with rage in his eyes. Helios grunted, and then his eyes darted around the cave as if he were trapped.
Trying to leave?
Zeus laughed and raised an eyebrow, not waiting for Helios to answer.
You won't succeed. I created an electrical shield around the area, blocking your powers and your ability to teleport out of here. You're trapped with us, which is just our luck, since we were all just meeting on Olympus discussing your fate.
Don't waste your time,
Helios sneered.
Once Typhon rises and the portal is fully open, my fate won't be in your hands for much longer. And no matter how powerful you are, you don't hold the power to seal that portal. If you did, you would have done it already.
You always were such a pessimist. The goddess, who looked like a Barbie, frowned and shook her head.
We might not be able to close the portal, but the elementals can. In the past few months, they've proven to be as brave as the most noteworthy heroes to have ever lived. We have faith that they will succeed.
Oh, Aphrodite.
Helios scoffed and crossed his arms.
How about you do what you do best and find another guy to screw? And leave matters of war to the men equipped to handle it. Or is your mind so shallow that you've already forgotten about the war you caused in Troy?
You arrogant fool, Aphrodite snarled back at him. You'll pay for that.
She raised her arms as if preparing to demolish Helios, but Ares wrapped a hand around her wrist, stopping her.
Wait, my love.
He looked at her sternly, and she made no move to try to escape from his hold. In fact, her lips curved upward, as if she enjoyed it.
I'm sure you have a wonderfully torturous plan in mind for Helios, but we all want to decide what happens to him. Don't take the thrill of doling out the punishment all for yourself.
Fine,
she huffed, reining her arms back in.
But only because you asked so nicely. And I expect you to properly thank me for listening to you when we get back to your bedroom in Olympus.
She raised her eyebrows at him, practically purring as she said the last part. And then she kissed him on the mouth, tongue and all. I looked away from them, wishing they would tone it down a notch. I did not need this graphic demonstration of what was going on behind the curtains at Olympus.
I also want to remind you, Helios, that it's not only the men who are equipped to handle battles and war.
The goddess in the casual clothing stepped forward, her cool gray eyes daring Helios to contradict her.
Or have you forgotten who you're speaking to?
Of course not, Athena.
He said her name with a mocking smile.
How could I forget when you're here to remind me?
We are in charge of your fate, she said, not miffed by him in the slightest. It would be in your best interest to grovel at our feet right now, not to irk us further by mocking us to our faces.
It doesn't matter what I do,
Helios said.
Once the Titans rise again, they will free us from your dictatorship at last, and they'll remove whatever punishment you choose to dole upon me.
Dictatorship?
Apollo repeated, laughing.
Have you been spending time in Kerberos without telling us? Because you've clearly gone mad.
That's perfect, coming from you,
Helios said.
Or have you forgotten that I was the god of the sun?
He pointed to himself, the tendons in his neck popping out as he spoke.
I sided with the lot of you during the Second Rebellion, only to have my job taken over and to be reduced to practically nothing.
You sided with us to save your own ass,
Ares sneered.
Don't think you can convince us otherwise. You should have been grateful that we didn't toss you into Kerberos along with the rest of them, given that you're a Titan yourself.
We'll figure out a worse punishment for him,
Apollo said, turning his gaze to Helios.
You'll regret ever having crossed us by going after our children and our descendants.
And by trying to assist the Titans in the upcoming battle, Athena added. Let's not forget about that.
You all act so high and mighty now,
Helios said, glaring at them.
I can't wait to see how the Titans punish you after they return. And I can't wait to get my job back, too. I wonder what corner of hell the Titans will send you to once they're back in power. But before they send you off, I'll request for them to let Aphrodite stay behind for a bit, so she can finally kneel down to me and suck my—
Enough!
Zeus yelled, bolts of lightning striking the ground around Helios. Aphrodite's hand was wrapped tightly around Ares' wrist, and if looks could kill, Helios would be dead by now. After Zeus's outburst, everyone was silent. I looked around at the gods. Zeus, Apollo, Athena, Ares, and Aphrodite. And while I dared not to say it, I was surprised by their behavior. I'd expected them to be more dignified. Instead, they were bickering like children. Powerful, immortal children. Apparently, even the gods were far from perfect.
We're here to determine Helios's fate, Athena was the first to speak up. As we all know, time is of the essence right now, so we need to stop getting distracted. And since Helios was attempting to kill the mortals in this cave right now,
she paused to glance over at me, Blake, Danielle, and Chris. Then it's only fitting that they're here to listen to our ideas and let us know which one they prefer. Ares rolled his eyes, leading me to think he disagreed, but he said nothing.
Bring it on,
Helios said.
Tell me how you plan on punishing me for the next 3 months, because that's as long as you have until that portal fully opens again and the Titans return.
The portal will not be opening, as I have faith that these mortals will seal it in time,
Athena said calmly.
Your punishment will last for as long as we deem fit.
Precisely.
Zeus nodded at Athena, and he stepped in front of the other gods so he was directly facing Helios.
We are currently undecided between turning you into a human slave for the next century or casting you into the depths of Tartarus. Either punishment would be fitting.
He should be turned into a human and enslaved to someone who would truly make him pay,
Aphrodite mused. Given his earlier comment to me, I think that making him the consort to an ugly, smelly old hag would be fitting.
She'll make him put his mouth where it belongs,
twice a day for the next century. She curved her hand like a cat's and snarled at him, chuckling at her implication. Helios scrunched his nose in disgust.
That's not a bad suggestion.
Zeus nodded and ran his thumb along his jawline.
But what if we turned him into a tree instead? I haven't turned anyone into a tree for a while. Then I could infest the tree with termites, and they would consume the bark for the next century. Making sure Helios feels the pain of being slowly eaten alive.
He smiled, clearly proud of himself for coming up with such a plan.
I like that idea,
he said brightly, turning to the other gods.
Should I do it? From experience, I can vouch that being turned into a human is the worst punishment possible,
Apollo said.
I'm with Aphrodite on this one. Although, I think he should be made ugly and weak and forced to do hard labor in the burning sun for the next century.
You're all wrong, Ares growled. We should throw him into Tartarus and get it over with. Nothing's worse than the pit of Tartarus itself.
Except for Kerberos, Athena reminded him. But since gods cannot travel through the portal until it's fully opened, and we have to hope that circumstances will never reach that point, Tartarus is our best option. However, she continued, holding her hand up so the other gods didn't interrupt her. Since we all have varying opinions on what should be done to Helios, and since Helios has caused so much trouble for the elementals, I think it would be fitting for Nicole, as the only demigod of their group, to decide his fate.
Chapter 17.
Me? I swallowed, unsure that I'd heard her right. You want me to decide how to punish a god?
I think that it would be fitting, Athena said. You heard all of our ideas. You can choose the punishment that you feel would best make Helios pay for his crimes, or suggest one of your own. I don't even get a fair trial on Olympus, Helios asked. Instead, I get only 5 of the 12 Olympians, and this mortal will decide my fate.
He spat out the word mortal as if it were the equivalent to vermin. A lightning bolt cracked down next to Zeus, and he gripped it in his hands.
The other Olympians are dealing with issues caused by the weakening portal and the threat of the Titans' return.
His anger pulsated through the bolt of lightning and flashed through the cave.
I am king of the gods, so what I say is what will happen. And I say that the mortal will decide your fate, as long as the other gods hear and I agree that her decision is an appropriate punishment.
He turned to me, and despite how intimidating he was with the lightning bolt, I stood strong under his gaze.
What have you decided?
He asked. I would like to discuss this with the other elementals, I said, if you don't mind.
Wise girl, Athena said, and Apollo smiled, as if proud that I was his daughter. Of course you should discuss your decision with them, but we have a limited amount of time, so make haste.
I nodded and glanced at the others, nervous and unsure where to begin. It didn't help that the Olympians were watching. Can we discuss this alone? I asked. Please?
I will create a diplomatic dome for you, Athena agreed. You will have complete privacy when inside. No one will be able to hear or see you. The dome will remain intact for 10 minutes. Afterward, you will emerge and inform us of your decision.
She waved her hand, and a building that resembled a large igloo appeared nearby. Except instead of being made of ice, It was a solid, metallic material. We walked through the doorway, and once the last one of us was through, it sealed behind us. The inside of the sphere was cloudy and perfectly smooth. It was like we were inside an opaque, human-sized snow globe. Curious, I pressed a hand against the wall. It was sturdy and cool to the touch, like glass. Could the gods really not hear us when we were inside here? There was no way to know for sure, but since we didn't have another option, we would have to trust them. We should get on with this, since we don't have much time, I said, looking around at each of them. What are you all thinking?
We should throw Helios into Tartarus.
Blake spoke up first.
It's the worst part of the underworld, and once he's trapped down there, we'll be rid of him for the rest of our lives. He'll never give us another problem again.
I liked Zeus's idea, Chris chimed in, turning him into a tree and infesting the tree with termites.
But really, I'm fine with any of the options.
I vote human,
Danielle said.
Aphrodite's idea about forcing him to be a male consort was pretty amusing.
I couldn't help noticing that they were each supporting the punishment proposed by their godly ancestor, especially because I was about to do the same. Sort of. I planned on putting my own spin on the punishment, too. I also think that Helios should be turned into a human, I said, glancing at Danielle to acknowledge that I agreed with the first part of her plan. But only after we seal the portal to Kerberos. He's too dangerous to have around before the portal is sealed, especially as a human. Since then, he could stroll into Kerberos and make a deal with the Titans. So I'm thinking we should throw him into Tartarus, but only temporarily. Once we've sealed the portal, I would like to have him brought back to Earth as a human for a century. But instead of being bound in servitude to a stranger, I want him bound in servitude to us. The elementals.
I like it,
Blake said, smiling.
I'm behind you 100%.
I'm impressed, Danielle chimed in. It's a better idea than any of the gods had.
Thanks, I said, taking a second to let it sink in that Danielle had complimented me. But we should be humble about it when we tell them our decision. We don't want to risk accidentally insulting them by not choosing one of their ideas.
They asked for your opinion,
Chris reminded me.
And your decision is pretty kick-ass if you ask me. It'll be fun to boss Helios around for the next century.
We're all in agreement? I asked. They all said yes. And I breathed easier, glad I had their support. Okay. I stood straighter and walked to where the door to the dome had been. Let's tell the gods what we decided. Chapter 18.
I like it,
Zeus said after we told him our idea for Helios's punishment.
But there's one major problem with it.
What's that? I asked.
Helios's punishment is to last for an entire century. As mortals, it's unlikely that any of you will live for that long.
I frowned, since I hadn't thought about that. It was a good point, and I had no idea what the solution could be.
We located the ambrosia for a reason,
Danielle chimed in.
We want to transform Kate into a goddess. If it works, Kate will be immortal, and she can be Helios's master after the rest of us have passed away.
Very well, Athena nodded.
And if Kate's apotheosis is unsuccessful, what will become of Helios then?
I hope it works, I said. But if it doesn't, perhaps it's best to keep Helios in Tartarus.
So Apollo's spawn has some sense after all,
Ares said.
I accept your proposition.
Zeus waved his hand, and a lightning bolt struck Helios. Helios screamed, his body lit up and buzzing with electricity. Then he was gone. All that remained was a charred spot on the ground where he'd been standing, and the smell of burnt flesh lingering in the air.
Did you just disintegrate Helios?
Chris asked, his eyes wide.
No,
I didn't disintegrate anything.
Zeus chuckled.
I can assure you that Helios is completely intact. I sent him straight to Tartarus, which is where he'll remain until we know the results of Kate's apotheosis, and the portal to Kerberos is sealed.
No pressure or anything, Chris muttered.
You've done well so far, Athena said, especially since you had some added help from the gods. She glanced at Zeus and Apollo after saying that part. She didn't look thrilled that they'd helped us, but she didn't seem angry about it either.
And I'm grateful that you're going forth with Kate's apotheosis. As her godly ancestor, you have my blessing with the process.
Does that mean the apotheosis will definitely be successful? I asked.
There are some things in this universe that not even the gods can control,
Athena said.
Especially since apotheosis has never been attempted on someone in Kate's condition. But with the gods on her side, the chance of it being successful is far more likely.
Thank you. I lowered my head in respect. It means a lot.
And now, we must be on our way,
Apollo said.
Remember, even though we won't be with you physically, we believe in you. The primordial deities wouldn't have given you your powers if you didn't have what it takes to save the world.
And then, as quickly as they'd appeared, the five Olympian gods were gone. Chapter 19. We left the cave and called Hypatia, who created a portal for us back to Darius's house. We caught them up on everything that had happened in the cave and collected the statue of Kate from where we'd been keeping it in the basement. Looking at Kate in her current condition never got easier. Her hands were raised in front of her, as if she was trying to hide from Medusa's gaze. Her eyes were wide, terrified, and her mouth was open in mid-scream. Her entire face was twisted in torment. I hoped that her last moment hadn't been painful, but looking at the statue, it was impossible to convince myself that that was the case. Chris used his power to float Kate's statue onto a rolling platform. Then Hypatia created a portal to the cave, and we all went through, bringing Kate with us. I'd expected the golden puddle of Ikor, all that remained of Rachel, to still be there. But it was gone. Hopefully, Hades had chosen to send her soul to Elysium, the section of the underworld most similar to heaven. Darius stepped up to the basin, studying the golden liquid inside.
Incredible, he said,
his eyes lighting up as he took it in.
In all my years, I've never once dreamed that I would actually see ambrosia, the nectar of the gods.
Don't get too close, I warned him. I doubt any of us would fall in, but after what happened to Rachel, we can't be too careful. I shuddered, slammed again by the memory of Rachel, melting from the inside out.
We must be deep in the cave of Antiparos,
Hypatia observed, looking around.
The cave is open to tourists and has been explored since the time of the ancients, but this section of it is untouched by mortals.
There's much more to the cave than this, I added. When we first found it, it was through a different portal. One in the woods close to the school. We had to figure our way down a 100-foot cliff and across a lake of boiling water. Also, we could find the Book of Shadows, which was waiting for us in this room. It was hard to believe that had only been a few months ago. We'd been through so much since then that it felt like so much longer. Back then, I was so inexperienced with my powers. It was crazy to think about how far I'd come. How far we all had come.
Even in those other sections, the cave showed no signs of anyone else having been there,
Danielle pointed out.
The articles I found online about the Cave of Antiparos said that it had been fully explored. So the parts of the cave that we've seen must be hidden to humans.
That makes sense,
Jason said.
I'm sure the gods didn't want humans stumbling upon the portal to Kerberos. But we don't have time to further investigate that right now, because we're here for one reason, to save Kate.
Yes, I said, glancing back over at the statue of my friend. I hoped, beyond all hope, that this would work. Despite Kate's fate with Medusa, I never accepted that she was gone, and I didn't think the others had either. Now was the time of truth. If the apotheosis didn't work, we would have to face the fact that Kate was gone. Forever. I was hopeful, excited, and terrified at the same time.
Before we start, I would like us to do a meditation,
Daria said.
As you know, green energy represents success and luck. I think we can all agree that those are things that Kate could benefit from right now. So let's gather around her statue, hold hands, and direct green energy toward her.
We formed a circle around her. Blake on one side of me, Danielle on the other. I grabbed both of their hands and closed my eyes, reminded of a similar exercise we did months ago when we meditated under the Olympian Comet. I never could have guessed that that one night would have been so pivotal. Back then, my biggest concerns had been getting the top spot on the tennis team and wondering if my crush returned my feelings. I'd never seen death, and I certainly never thought that I would ever kill a living creature. Now, so much had changed. I'd fought and killed to save the lives of people I loved. I'd seen people die. I'd been given so much responsibility, and I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. If we failed at this quest, the world as I knew it wouldn't exist anymore. But I couldn't let myself think about that right now, because right now there was only one thing I needed to focus on, making sure Kate's apotheosis went as smoothly as possible. I cleared my mind and focused on green energy, feeling its presence rolling over my skin and pulling it into my body. It filled me, bright and warm, and I gathered it until it felt like it was about to burst out of me. Then, unable to contain it anymore, I sent all of it out toward Kate. Chapter 20. Once finished, I opened my eyes and we let go of each other's hands.
It's time to begin the apotheosis, Hypatia swallowed. I could tell she was nervous, and her gaze was fixed on Kate.
Chris raised his arms, using his power to levitate Kate's statue and fly it over to the basin until it hovered over the ambrosia.
Are you all ready?
He asked. I reached for Blake's hand, nervous about what was going to happen next. This was the moment of truth. If everything went well, Kate would be with us again. If everything didn't go well, I refused to think about that unless it happened. This had to work. The gods wouldn't have led us in this direction otherwise.
We're ready,
Danielle said, and I echoed her sentiment along with the others. I didn't truly think there was ever a way to feel ready for something like this, but we were as close as we would ever be. Slowly, Chris lowered the statue of Kate into the ambrosia. First her feet, then her legs, her body, and her head, until she was gone, submerged completely below the liquid. I held my breath, making my way over to the basin to peer over the edge. The surface of the ambrosia was flat. There was no clue that the statue of Kate was in there. It was so flat that I could see my reflection in it. Then it started to bubble. Small bubbles, as if simmering to a boil. The bubbles were directly over the place where we'd lowered Kate into the liquid. The bubbles grew and grew until it looked like the ambrosia was boiling completely. I clenched my fists, looking down at the ambrosia in fear. What if Kate was down there melting, like what had happened to Rachel. If that's what was happening to her, how would we even know? The ambrosia was the same color as the ichor, gold. Kate could be drowning and terrified and have no idea where she was or what was happening. She could be dying painfully, and she would be alone. We have to help her. I jerked my head up to look at Chris and pointed at the ambrosia. Pull her out of there. Now. Chris held his hands out as if about to do it, but he hesitated.
What if it's working? He asked. What if that's happening because Kate's transitioning into a goddess?
The process has already started,
Blake said, confident and strong.
If it's not working, there won't be anything we can do for her at this point. We have to wait and hope for the best.
I nodded, since I knew he was right. It was just torture, standing here and waiting, not knowing what was happening to Kate beneath the ambrosia. Maybe nothing was actually happening at all. Maybe our idea to dunk the statue of Kate in the ambrosia was stupid, because as far as we knew, the ambrosia had to be drank to take effect. We'd been hoping that by dunking her, it would absorb into her body. But since this had never been done before, there was no way to know for sure. Then there was a rumbling from deep in the basin, and a shadow crept up to the surface. Kate. She rose slowly. First, the top of her head, and the rest of her followed. The ambrosia rolled off of her, like oil on water, revealing a version of Kate that was more beautiful than ever before. She wasn't stone anymore. She looked different than I remembered her. But she was alive. I stared at her, taking in her changed appearance. Her previously freckled skin was now smooth and flawless. Her hair blew around her face, its previous ash brown color now tinted with a stunning auburn. Her green eyes sparkled more than ever, as if made of actual emeralds. She wore the same green dress that she'd worn when we fought Medusa, and it billowed around her, making her look like a piece of artwork come to life. She hovered atop the golden liquid and slowly floated forward, her feet landing gently on the ground. She blinked and looked at each of us, her expression a mix of confusion and awe. Kate? I said her name softly. It's really you?
Yes.
Her voice was more melodic than ever, and she raised her hands in front of her, flexing them and examining them.
What's going on?
She sounded dazed, and she looked back up at us, her eyes sparkling with confusion.
What happened to me?
It's a long story.
Chris beamed and ran up to her, wrapping his arms around her in a huge hug. He finally pulled away, the grin still on his face, and said,
But we're glad to have you back.
Chapter 21. Jason created a portal for us back to Darius's house, and once there, Kate changed out of her fancy dress and into jeans and a t-shirt that she had in the basement for training. She looked more normal in regular clothing, but there was still an ethereal glow around her that made it clear that she was different. That reminded us that she was now a goddess. Once we'd all freshened up, we sat down in the living room and caught Kate up on everything that had happened since Medusa had turned her to stone.
Thank you for saving me, she said, once we were finished. But you performed the apotheosis process without a god present at the ceremony?
The gods were there before the ceremony, I reminded her, when they gave Helios his punishment. Once Helios was taken care of, they gave us their blessing and left to deal with other matters. Kate gazed out the window, appearing deep in thought.
How does it feel to be a goddess?
Chris asked her, pulling her attention back to us.
Do you feel different? You definitely look different. In a good way, of course.
He smiled, a tint of red crawling up his neck and reaching his cheeks.
I don't feel too much different, she said,
holding her arms out in front of her and examining them.
I seem to have the same level of control over my element that I did when I was mortal. But I am worried that a god wasn't present during the ceremony.
She chewed on her lip, her eyes full of worry.
Stealing ambrosia to turn someone into a goddess without another god present is a hugely punishable offense. I know the gods are busy right now with the threat of Typhon and the Titans on the horizon. But once they figure out what I am now...
She shuddered, sheer terror on her smooth features.
I'm scared about what they might decide to do with me.
Athena gave us her blessing, I reminded her, resting my hand on hers in an attempt to calm her down. She wouldn't have given her blessing if she meant to punish us for following through without another god there with us. Then the air next to Kate shimmered, and someone appeared on the couch next to her. Athena. She wore the same jeans and t-shirt as earlier, and besides her gray eyes, it was easy to tell that she and Kate were related.
Athena?
Kate spoke her name, her mouth open in shock. Yes. The gray-eyed goddess nodded and scooted closer to her. I'm so thrilled to see that the apotheosis was successful.
You mean, you're not mad? Kate asked. You're not going to punish us for going through with the process without a god by our side?
I couldn't do that, since you did have a god by your side the entire time, she said, smiling mischievously. I was there with you in that cave, although I hid myself from sight. After all, I gave my blessing. And while I doubted anything would go wrong, not many survived the apotheosis process, so I wanted to be there just in case you needed my assistance. Luckily, it succeeded on its own. Congratulations.
Wow, thank you, Kate said. And then she looked around at all of us. And thank you all so much for doing this for me. That time spent trapped inside the stone.
She shivered, as if the memories chilled her to the bone.
I was conscious the whole time I was in there, but I couldn't see or hear anything, and I couldn't move. I was terrified that I would be stuck like that forever. I know I was only in there for a few days, but it felt like an eternity.
Well, you're back with us now, Chris said. That's what matters.
Yes, Kate agreed. When I was trapped in there, I wished that someone would shatter my statue to set my soul free. I wonder if that would have worked, or would I have just been trapped in the pieces forever?
Shattering Medusa's statues will not free the souls, Athena confirmed. If that happens, the soul would be shattered as well. And while no soul can ever be gone forever, being shattered into pieces is as close to permanently gone that could ever exist.
The only way to free the soul is by submerging the stone in the ambrosia?
Danielle asked.
Yes, Athena said. Although, Kate's case was a rare one. For the majority, if not all, of Medusa's statues, the apotheosis process would kill them.
But their souls would be brought to the underworld, Kate said. Correct?
That's correct, Athena nodded.
Then after we defeat Typhon and stop the Titans, I'm going to make it my personal mission to free all the souls that Medusa's trapped.
Kate straightened, her eyes gleaming with determination.
With your permission, of course. I understand that their apotheosis won't be successful, but they deserve to be free, to go to the underworld.
I'll help you, I said. And the others chimed in that they would help as well.
I think that sounds like a fantastic plan, and I gladly give my blessing, Athena said. But on the note of Typhon, I think it's time that I take my leave. After all, you don't have much longer until he rises from Mount Etna.
5 days,
Blake said.
That's all the time we have until the spring equinox.
Not very long at all, Athena said. But the five of you are more than capable. I haven't witnessed heroes like you since the days of Hercules and Jason.
Thank you, Kate said. Being compared to the great heroes of the ancient times, I never dreamed anyone would say that about me. It means a lot. But before you leave, I do have one more question.
Athena said nothing, simply nodding for Kate to continue.
What should I expect now that I'm a goddess? She asked. I've tested out my powers, and they don't feel any different. I can still access my element, but not any stronger than I could before.
That's to be expected, since the apotheosis process turns mortals into minor goddesses, Athena explained. You will never be nearly as powerful as myself, or the other Olympians, or the Titans for that matter, who were all born from two godly parents. You will, however, have the same powers that you did while you were mortal, along with immortality and eternal youth. And since you're a descendant of mine, this probably doesn't need saying, but I hope you use this gift wisely.
I will, Kate said. I promise.
Also, every god has something they stand for, something they represent and lead over, Athena added. For me, that's wisdom and battle strategy. Aphrodite is the goddess of love. Ares is the god of war. Hades is the god of the underworld, and so forth. Now that you've been given this gift, it's your responsibility to choose one original cause to take under your wing and make your own.
Do I need to choose now? Kate asked. Because I would like some time to think about it.
You do not need to choose immediately.
Athena placed her hand on Kate's shoulder, the gesture motherly and kind.
Just keep the thought in the back of your mind, as the sooner you choose, the better.
Understood, Kate said, her eyes serious.
But I know you have more pressing matters to worry about right now, such as Typhon. So it's truly time for me to leave.
Athena stood up and studied each of us, as if sizing us up if we were ready for what was coming.
I give you my blessing in the trials ahead, and wish you the best of luck.
Her body shimmered, slowly fading from view, and then she was gone.
Chapter 22. The next few days were spent training, vanquishing creatures that came through the portal, and strategizing for the upcoming fight with Typhon. School had been put on the back burner. After missing so many days, I would most likely have to go to summer school. But I would deal with that when it came to it. What little free time I had was spent with my family, catching them up on what had happened in my absence and assuring them that we had this under control. As always, I left out the scariest parts of the story when I caught them up, as I didn't want to worry them any more than necessary. All that mattered was that we would succeed, and they and everyone else in the world would be safe. And if the worst happened and we didn't succeed, hopefully the end of the world would come so quickly that no one would know any differently. We were finishing up training on Friday when Darius received a 911 call from Jason, who was guarding the area around the portal. The witch who had been guarding when the giants escaped had never been found. And by this point, he was presumed dead. So witches were no longer being put on guard. That job was being handled by head elders, who were taking turns portaling to Kinsley to work their shifts.
A pack of dragons escaped from Kerberos,
Darius warned us after getting off the phone.
Gather the weapons you need, and hurry.
We did as he said, but when we portaled to the playground, The dragons were too far away for our powers to reach them. And from their bright orange color, there was no mistaking what breed these dragons were. Helios's solar dragons. They looked the same as the ones we'd come across in Kerberos, the ones that had given us rides to the top of the mountain in exchange for the golden sword of Athena. Perhaps they were the same ones. The solar dragons were an enigma. While they were under Helios's command, they seemed to think for themselves and not be on any one side. Now that Helios was banished, he wouldn't have even a semblance of control over them.